Om Shanti. Good morning again. It's nice to see little by little more and more joining every day. And soon it will be like an ocean of Baba's children. And so it's a very beautiful time to be in Madhuban, especially that they are preparing for Shivratri, Shiv Jayanti, or birth anniversary of our dear Baba and us, all of us. One is, of course, when the day of Shivratri Baba comes and he celebrates with us. But also this is our time to prepare in a way that we can celebrate as Baba wants us to celebrate. Because we always celebrate. There's no question. Brahmins means celebration. We've gotten so used to celebration that, you know, every time there is an excuse, there is a reason we celebrate. But as you know, Baba has been saying this is the most elevated festival or occasion for us to celebrate. And that too, I was thinking that it's not just the external celebration, but it is how much we are able to vibrate from us, transmit from us those true feelings of attainments that we have received from Baba. And so today's topic, as you heard this morning, was how from the heart we can glorify our Father. Just by saying one word, and that is Baba. And I know that you have had, probably heard stories of how this one word Baba brought some very close, or just one drishti from Baba brought some souls very close. And Baba also himself says it's a matter of a second. It's a matter of a second of recognizing that this is the Father, this is Baba. This is the one who has come to give me the full inheritance. And so for us in this Brahmin life, to be able to make that practical, to make that real. And I'm sure everyone here is already doing it to some extent, to a lot of extent maybe. But how can we do it all the time? That every time we say Baba, it's like he comes alive. Of course, for us as Brahmins, as we talk to each other, we know who that Baba is. But even that, every time we say Baba amongst ourselves too, how we can give a new experience of that same Baba to the other. Because we all need to, we are all on that step ladder going up, right? It's not that we have experienced everything, or we have recognized 100%, or we have accepted every little thing, or we have, you know, actually felt it. Baba's relationships, Baba's tasks, Baba's virtues. It's not that we have done it 100%. So seeing this also as an opportunity, not just to give message to the world, but also even when we say Baba amongst ourselves, or even when I say Baba to myself, every time how much it can mean something different. I was remembering this morning a blessing that Baba had given this soul long time ago. And it was very much on the same lines, and that was that every time you say Baba, many, many, many souls will get touched. So, of course, I have thought about it many times, and I have also checked myself many times that is this happening actually? Is this really happening? Every time, just the word Baba, that is it actually conveying a whole world of a meaning? And of course, you know, every time it is different, and every time it is to a different degree also. But I thought it would be nice for us to share together about, you know, where, how the experience of this word Baba can be so 100%, so full, so total for ourselves, that then it can of course impact others. And we know that, you know, Baba has come to our lives and has given us his own introduction, and we have recognized him. But along with that also, Baba has told us that this life of ours, this confluence aged life of ours, is very valuable, is very unique, is very different. And it is through this life that we will glorify not only Baba, but also our own selves. So there are many things connected with Baba, this word Baba, I mean. Even though Baba means the world for us, but in that world there are so many things, right? In that world also comes the full introduction and recognition of our own selves, how much Baba has given us as our inheritance of confluence age, and reminds us of our inheritance of golden age and also of the whole cycle. So every time I say Baba, does this ring through that I am also remembering the inheritance that I have received from Baba? Some kind of inheritance, doesn't have to be the full thing, but something unique stands out in that one word Baba. This is why Baba says my Baba. You know, many times he says just Baba is not enough, but my Baba, because I have created that relationship with him, and through that relationship I have received that inheritance from him, and of course continue to receive that inheritance from him. But that inheritance is like a living experience. It's not something that I'm putting away for the future, but it's like a living experience of this moment. So that when I say Baba, it is that inheritance, whatever that inheritance may be. It is the fortune, maybe it is my sense of my own self-respect, maybe it is my sense of inner peace, that self-religion of peace that Baba talks about. Whatever it may be my full rights to self-sovereignty. So many ways we can interpret inheritance that we receive at this time. Maybe it is knowledge, but something rings through. And that is why the word Baba, you know, it's like a dynamic word. Every time it has a different tone, it has a different connotation, it has a different meaning. So is it like that? And I have been thinking about how, you know, we always say, you know, one, first we give the lesson of the soul, first day, right, when anybody comes. And then we say, now it is time to give the lesson on the Supreme Soul, right? And usually you find that, you know, lesson on the soul people accept very easily all over the world, I think. Yes? You know, nobody has problem with soul. Very few people have problem with understanding and accepting the soul versus the body. So they are very, very elevated. They have good experience. And then usually we find by the time they come to the Supreme Soul, to understand, to recognize, to accept that one soul should be Supreme Soul. People usually have questions. Why should one soul be called the Supreme Soul? Why should that soul be called the Father? Especially the word Father, right? And so I don't know about other parts of the world, but we have been trying to see how we can integrate these two things now. You know, not that there is so much difference between, you know, the first lesson of the soul and then the second lesson of the Supreme Soul, but how as a soul we can also convey this message that the soul is something that comes into body, into physical, and therefore, you know, loses its power, its qualities, and therefore it is necessary for that Supreme Soul to be present as a constant figure, as a source, as a stable, you know, energy. So anyway, having said that, what I'm really saying is that they're very connected. So when I say Baba, it shouldn't be that I'm only talking about Baba, but it's really Baba who has come to uplift me. It's really Baba who is purifying me. It's really Baba who is giving me back my full rights, my full sovereignty. So that full recognition of Baba, especially as it connects with who I am, and what I am becoming. Right? So it's only when we are able to make that connection, which is what actually happens in yoga, right? What do we do in yoga? This, we remember, as is Baba, so I am the soul too. Of course, we remind ourselves, I am soul, but also as is my father, so also I am his child. So yoga is, in fact, you know, that understanding and feeling and experiencing that alikeness with Baba. And to the extent that we are able to do that, I think automatically that recognition will come from the heart. That yes, it is Baba who has come to give me my full inheritance, full rights. And then within that word, Baba also is everything that he explains about this world, what is happening, the events in the world, the circumstances, the situations, the significance of the time, all of that. And Baba calls it as the drama, right? So he also gives us full understanding of what this world of physical interaction is all about, and that is drama. So the connection of drama and Baba is also important to deeply experience, because drama, as I see it, is for everyone, whether they know Baba or not know Baba. Everyone goes through drama of life. Yes? No? Except that they don't know it is drama in the sense of there is a beginning, there is a middle, there is an end, there is a pattern, you know, there is a sequence. There is cause, there is effect, you know, and they don't know about that. But when Baba comes, he comes and he makes us understand drama in its entirety, in its fullness. Not just in bits and pieces, but he gives the full picture of the drama. So also the connection of drama. That Baba is now the one who is inspiring me to play the best part in the drama. So unless and until I have accepted that, I cannot really appreciate, you know, what is the use of Baba coming and telling me this is what drama is and you have to go through this and that's all. No. That's not the point. Point is, Baba has said, I am here with you. No matter what you have to go through as a result of the past, but I am here with you at the present time to help you to create the future, let alone clearing the past. Right? So I have to understand deeply how Baba is helping me step by step. First and foremost, to step back and see the drama and understand that it is drama. Observe it as drama. Second of all, to accept it as something that is beneficial to me. And third of all, to be an active actor, taking Baba's help as the director. If I don't like my script, if I don't like my, you know, words that I have to speak, or if I don't like the role, Baba is saying that, okay, communicate with me, connect with me, you know, get to know yourself better and see what part you can play better. Right? So it's not like a passive thing. Baba says that, yes, this is drama and you have to play whatever, but Baba is making us actively part of that drama. So how much we can appreciate Baba for that? Yes? For everyone else too, things happen. Sickness happen, accident happen, things don't go right. Lots of drama in the world today. Is there anybody who doesn't go through drama of life? But for us also, it is not just drama, but it's a drama in which I am completely aware of what's happening, why it's happening, and what I can do about it. People don't have that understanding, right? So this is why the word that comes out is va, baba, and va, drama. Yes? Otherwise, it is just drama. Baba has said it's drama, yes. Okay, it must be drama. Same word drama also you can use in so many different tones. But when you say drama, it should remind you of Baba. And when you say Baba, it should remind you of drama. Because Baba has not only given us the knowledge, but also is giving us the strength, the full capacity to face and to do whatever we have to do to make the best of the drama. And drama too, we know at this particular time, confluence age, Baba always says, this time has that blessing for you to be able to make that change. And Baba is with you, that's why. So even while we go through the events and the scenes of everyday life, everyday drama, the word Baba should constantly ring in the bottom of our hearts. That Baba is with me. You know, I'm not alone. Baba is directing me. Baba is holding my hand. And as you do that, and the experience that Baba gives, that he is truly there with you, that you didn't have to go through anything. You thought it was a big thing, but it turned out to be nothing. Many times it happens, right? So often we think that it is so bad what we have to go through, but after coming to Baba and just using this one word, Baba and drama, how much we have seen that that whole mountain of that situation has become just like a little molehill. And so what comes from the heart is va baba, va drama. Not only that, but we see that there was benefit in that too. So practically that experience. So what I'm saying is Baba has, you know, when Baba says, you know, is there any other world for you other than Baba? We think, right? We still have so much drama of life going on that we have to settle, we have to take care of, we are responsible for. But in all of that, how do we bring in Baba's presence, Baba's companionship, Baba's love, Baba's power, Baba's wisdom, and most importantly, Baba himself? You know, how do you make him the center of the situation? Where he says that whatever it is, the situation, give it to me. Whatever it is, the situation, give it to me. So to the extent that we are able to do that, that we are able to also say, Baba is my world, and not only that, but from the bottom of the heart the sound emerges that there's nothing. Baba is sitting there, what is there? And then of course, Baba, we have to connect Baba also with the family that he has given us. Yes? He doesn't come alone. He comes and with this full package. When you accept Baba, when you recognize Baba, you also have to accept and recognize that the whole world is his family, of course. But within that, he is giving us a little model of this family, model of the golden age to create here. Amongst the Brahmin family, amongst the spiritual family, the Alokic family that Baba is creating. He wants us to also accept each other in that same way that we accept Baba and recognize Baba. Because if we don't, then we transfer our feelings. Whatever our feelings are, if they are good feelings, we transfer it to Baba. If they are bad feelings, then we also transfer it to Baba. Well, sometimes Baba, recently I think he said, you know, children get upset with each other or sulk with each other and they give up study. Now Baba doesn't do anything in terms of, you know, making us upset. But still we hold it against him. Why? Because it goes hand in hand. You know, when you go to the center, when you go to, you know, listen to Baba's Murli, you see his children, they're not behaving all right, and you think that it all has to do with Baba, subconsciously. You know, you transfer your feelings and then you don't think about how it's going to affect you. So this is why it's also important that Baba is there, but Baba is also come with this whole package of divine family. And the divine family also is learning now. Everyone is in training. And Baba says no one has become perfect. On the contrary, everyone is learning and studying to become perfect. So where else in the world will we get those who have this aim to learn together, to be together, to have that same goal, that I can be better and better and better, we can make things better and better and better. So the word that should emerge even for the family also is, wow, you know, it's Baba's family. So even when we see that the behavior is not good, even when we see that it is even worse sometimes maybe than outside, many people comment that outside people are better than Brahmins sometimes. Yes? Have you heard that comment? Once in a while it can happen because it's a limited vision somebody has of someone. So it's possible. There are times when, you know, amongst the family we go through ups and downs and we are also under the influence of the forces. And therefore we don't keep up Baba's discipline or principles or values or the system even. But even within that, we have to look at that also as an opportunity for us to become stronger. An opportunity for us to give and share with each other what we have received from Baba. It's not to sit back and criticize, it's not to sit back and ridicule, or not to sit back and even expect at that time. Whatever is happening, whoever it is, however their behavior, it is our time to rise to the occasion. That Baba and Brahma are giving me this chance. to stand out on my own, to connect with my own virtues, values, and to act according to that. Not to be influenced, not to criticize, but it's really making me elevate myself. And to the extent that I take, you know, this is how I use this opportunity. Maybe it is something for me to learn. Maybe it is something for me to unlearn. Because the whole of Confluence Age is for us to learn and to unlearn. You know, unlearn some of the things that we were used to before. Because before we were used to a particular system, we were under the influence of so many other people. We didn't know our own inner values. We didn't know our inner natural and original instincts, sanskars. But now we know all of that. So now it is time to unlearn or give up all those old habits. So we have to learn. So in other words, we cannot really blame the family or look at the family with any other vision than that vision of inclusiveness, that it is Baba's family. And Baba has given me this family in order to grow together, to learn together, to share together, and to help each other, and of course to glorify the Father together. So sometimes, you know, this word, you know, Baba kind of, especially the way Baba talks about it, you know, word Baba should be so refreshing, re-energizing. But when we get caught up into this other kind of negative feelings about Baba's family, our feelings for Baba also change. But immediately we have to remind ourselves, this is not just an ordinary family. This is the family that has chosen to become deities. This is the family that has entered this journey, that they are all on this journey together, from all the way to the bottom to all the way to the top. So family is included in Baba's world also. So I have to have the right perspective. And then of course Baba tells us that nothing happens without your efforts. Baba has come to change, Baba has come to purify, Baba has come to elevate you, but nothing is possible without your efforts. So for us to really say Baba with that deep love and sense of attainment, there has to be also that genuine effort. Whatever Baba is telling me, am I doing that? Am I genuinely making effort to be soul conscious? Even simple effort, as Baba said today, nothing else but just to remember that you are a soul and you have to remember Baba. Am I doing that? So remembering Baba and just saying Baba is different, right? Very different. So am I genuinely using some of my soul conscious qualities? And am I truly in remembrance so that that word Baba can emerge in a beautiful way? And it was beautiful when Baba was reminding us today, even knowledge is considered to be the sword, right, with which you can cut away the vices and in ignorance. But what do you need for it is the power of yoga. So the power of yoga is really this deep, deep feeling of what I'm receiving from Baba. Yoga is not just effort. Yoga is what I am receiving from Baba at any given moment. Because it's the power that I receive, it's the love that I feel, it's the closeness that I can experience that comes across in the words that I say. So for me to say Baba from the heart, I have to have that deep recognition of what Baba is giving me as my inheritance, what I am claiming back from him, how Baba is reminding me of all the events in the world, all my, what I can call karmic accounts, it's all drama, right? How to accept and to really make friends with drama. How to make friends with my family, right? Divine family. This is also Baba's family. So all of this is included before I can just say that one word, Baba. Baba just doesn't stand on his own, but Baba comes with this complete understanding that he gives us. And we have to also accept that. I was thinking recently that, I think it was two times before Baba's Murli, of how he said the whole Murli was just saying Vaha Vaha. Right? So how many of you have been saying Vaha Vaha since then? Every day. At least few times. Whether it is Vaha Baba, Vaha Drama, Vaha family, Vaha myself, what else? Vaha my fortune, Vaha my efforts, what else? Vaha Madhuban, yes. So I was thinking about this whole, because many, there was a few children that were listening to Baba's Murli that time. And they had this question, but why did Baba say it so many times? Like even this time Baba said, so many times, will you be able to do it? Why are you going to do it? So why does he insist? What does Baba want us to say Vaha Vaha so many times for? And of course, again, it is not a question of just saying externally through the words, but deeply from our hearts, do we feel Vaha? For everything. So as I said, this word Vaha Vaha, it's a very beautiful word. It's a Urdu, it's from the Urdu culture. And, it's usually when someone is performing and, you want to really applaud them. I think in the olden days, they were not this habit of clapping hands, maybe. But they used to, and it was small groups, I suppose. It wasn't, a big auditorium and things. It was usually small groups and, they could hear each other and people would sit around and the way they would applaud is Vaha Vaha, Even sometimes now when somebody reads a poetry, the way that some of the Indians would say Vaha Vaha, right in the middle of it, right? So this thing that comes out from the heart, when you really are totally amazed at what this person has done or said or sang or performed some way, that kind of wonderment, so to speak. So how do we create a culture of Vaha Vaha? Because Brahmin culture now should be Vaha Vaha. Everything is Vaha Vaha. Truly, not just externally, not just superficially saying Vaha Vaha, but anything that is happening is really something to wonder about, something to appreciate, something to really, maybe, you need to understand it better. So I was thinking, what are the sanskars that we need to create? One is the sanskar of appreciation. When it is sanskar of appreciation, not that you are even making effort to appreciate, but where, you've created that habit over and over again of appreciating. And there's nobody better that we can learn that from other than Baba. Right? Every time he comes, What is he doing? He's always starting with something beautiful and something so elevated, describing that to us. It's almost like reflecting back to us from a mirror who we are, what we are. And he's not saying it just for saying it, but he's truly seeing that in the souls. And he's explaining it, he's defining it, he's making it very vivid for us. And so, and of course, after that, he will say whatever else he has to say, in terms of how we have to do better, or what else we have to inculcate, or anything like that will come always later on. And he always finds the right time, the right, you know, place. And of course, the place is always the same, but always the right moment to say what he has to say. So this whole aspect of appreciation before we can correct anybody, you know, because there is plenty of things that we can say that are not right, that we will notice could be better, you know, that we can criticize, we can complain. But first and foremost, appreciation. Vaha, vaha, vaha. So is it possible to create that habit? I know some people already have that habit. And many of us, most of us, say it also genuinely from time to time. But how can we do it all the time? Everything is vaha, vaha. So I was thinking consciously, you know, if we can instill this habit of first always notice the positive. First always describe the positive. First always appreciate. And then go on to say whatever, whatever. And we all have heard that Baba used to do that, Mamma used to do that, we have seen Dadis do that. We see Avyakt Bhapta, they're doing it all the time. So for us to really say Vava to Baba, to drama, to anything, but it's got to be like a pattern, set pattern, that this is a mindset that we are working with. It's not just only at that time that we're saying it, but all the time, you know, our mind is in a state of appreciation. The other thing is that there is a sanskar of, maybe sometimes Baba says, you know, that everything is for benefit. And we perhaps don't see that it is for benefit. Right? Many times it happens. Sometimes it's easy to accept that it's for benefit, and sometimes we're not able to see that. But there is another thing that we can do, and that is like an inquiry. You know, we have the ability as a human soul to inquire deeply and to get answers. And the main quality for that is just openness. We just need to be open inside. We all have our answers inside, but we are blocking those answers. But once you open up, this is why they have this process these days that Brahmins use a lot of, and that is appreciative inquiry. Right? Appreciative inquiry, two together. One is appreciation, but the other is also inquiry process. What can I ask of myself so that I can get the answer that I want? It gets me to a deeper and deeper place of my own wisdom. Let me try to understand what was it that I learned from it. So I was thinking, so the sanskar of inquiry usually is something that is very, very beneficial. It's not questioning, it's not doubting, but it's inquiring. In other words, I have an intention to find the truth. It's not with the idea of questioning something or doubting someone, but my idea is to actually inquire it in such a way that I really would like to get to the bottom of the truth. And then, of course, you know, when I do find that truth, I can say, wow, I didn't know that before. Oh, I realized that before. Oh, I got this new insight now. Yeah? I think many of you have had that experience, right? That all of a sudden you're able to see something clearly. And all that was standing in between was your own self blocking. Because there wasn't that openness. Because of some expectation or because of something to do with your own ego or whatever. But gently to kind of open up inside to that inquiring nature of yours, process can happen. And then of course this whole aspect, the sanskar of just being amazed and in wonder. On the one hand, Baba gives us knowledge, intellect, to understand everything. And yet we know that there are certain things that this logical mind doesn't have to understand. But you accept it from Baba and you are amazed at that truth. That's how vast that truth is. That you don't even have to understand it with your limited intellect. So it's like amazement, you know, like little children amazed at the stars up there. Today, of course, we know it's planets and things. But for little children, the stars are beautiful. It's a thing to wonder at. Twinkle, twinkle, little star, how I wonder what you are. You know? So it's a wonderment, isn't it? So in the same way too, when Baba comes and tells us, the whole part is ordained in the soul. It's like a wonder. It's the best part of nature, he says. So that kind of wonderment also allows us to say, wah, wah, you know. Because sometimes there are things you will not understand. You just have to trust. And you just have to not only trust, but enjoy that truth that is revealing itself without your understanding. So I think it is also that vaha vaha nature, you know, that sense of wonderment is so important to say vaha from the heart, Baba. Sometimes, for example, you know, you don't understand how Baba comes and fixes things and makes everything all right. And you cannot explain it, right? But you know that he did something. You know, say for example, you're going into a meeting and it's supposed to be a very difficult meeting, difficult people, and you don't know how to solve this problem. And all you have done is just bring Baba into the room. And everything moves so smoothly and everybody follows and the result is very good. What do you say? Baha Baba. Do you understand what happened? You don't even have to, right? You don't even have to understand what happened. So sometimes we are so analytical and so methodical and so logical in our approach that's how we want to solve all the problems. But there's another way. And that is just to bring Baba and Baba's energy and accept and trust and wonder. So this question of vaha vaha, you know, the more we are able to create these sanskars, as I said, of appreciation, of deeply opening up to inquiry, and also just wondering. There are so many things that don't have explanation in our Brahmin life. And I know there is a deeper explanation, but until we get to that point, you just sit back and wonder. As I was sharing with you, when you have to say vaha vaha to a performance, you know, usually those who are, you know, good fans, say for example, you have a good taste for any kind of music, classical music for example, whatever. Or if you have a taste for, you know, a certain kind of play or anything, what you like to do is you want the good seat, right? You want the front seat. So that you can see all the things, you can catch it completely. So I was saying, even for us also to say vaha, all the time from our heart. You have to get a good seat. Good seat for all the, for seeing all the things clearly that are happening in front of your eyes. And what is a good seat? How would you describe your good seat? If you have to buy your ticket for observing this drama of life, so that you can enjoy every scene, so that you can appreciate every scene, you can say vaha vaha every time. Baba always says you have to be a detached observer. Right, your good seat is really for you to be able to be detached. Because as soon as you get attached to an idea, to an outcome, to a person, to a thing, to whatever, then you're not enjoying what is happening. You're not even understanding what is happening, let alone enjoying. So very, very important. In order for us to truly, you know, appreciate, admire, and of course accept, we have to be in that detached observer stage. And Baba always says, it's only when you are with me that you can be truly detached. Sometimes we try to be detached, but we cannot be detached. But it's Baba, Baba's company, Baba's energy that kind of pulls you out of that gravity, whatever that attachment may be, so that you are able to totally be engrossed in that scene and appreciate that scene. And if you have to play part, of course you can play part, but most important is just not to be upset, to be attached, to be influenced. And of course, for you to be able to observe everything nicely, you need a good eyesight also, right? You have to be in your mode of third eye. Because if you're seeing everything just with these two eyes, you're seeing very limited. Whereas if you're seeing with your third eye, you're seeing the beginning, the middle and end, everything. Not only now, but you're seeing also into the far out future. You become far-sighted. So it's so important that in order for this true praise to come out, Vaha Baba, Vaha Drama, you have to be in a good seat, you have to wear your third eye glasses. And also you have to kind of pay attention to what else is coming inside. In other words, you have to have a very refined intellect. Because we take in a lot of other, you know, even the scene is good, but in the good scene also there are a lot of bad things happening. So we take in the bad things and leave out the good things. So we need to know what to filter out and what to take in. Isn't it? So otherwise you will be seeing all the negative things and not appreciating the positive things. I was traveling in a car and, you know, there were two people and they were both describing something. And one person was describing this scene as if it is 95% everything is not just and not right and not this and that. And the other person was describing everything as if 95% everything is right. Everything is just. Who do you believe? Mm-hmm. Who do you believe, right? You all have heard Dadi Kumarka, Dadi Prakashmani's, you know, way of looking at things. Once Dadi Janki always shares this. And she says that, you know, Dadi Kumarkar, and they were talking, and Dadi Janki must have pointed out something to Dadiji. And Dadiji, after listening for a while, she said, but 98% everything is all right, no? It's only 2% here and there that goes wrong. And if you want to look at that 2%, you can wear magnifying glasses to whatever extent you want, and it will become bigger and bigger and bigger. And that's all you will see. And you will not be able to see the 98% going right. So what kind of glasses we wear, what kind of hearing aid we wear, what do we filter out and what do we take in? Because all of this affects our mindset and how much we are able to be in that vaha-vaha mode. We have to be not just, you know, you put on the switch at that time and you can say vaha-vaha. Or just you say, you know, at that moment, oh Baba, you're great. But it's only when you're constantly in that mode of appreciating everything, looking at the good in everything, and taking benefit from everything. Only then this true voice will come from inside. And that is our honest effort, isn't it? Because yesterday I think Dadi Janki was saying, what is our effort? To be positive. To be positive is our effort. And if I'm not positive in one scene and the next scene, of course, even if it's a good scene and I say, oh Baba, thank you Baba, Maha Baba, but it's still artificial. Because Baba is telling me that everything is good. Take advantage of everything. Make use of every little opportunity. So somewhere I have to integrate my efforts in such a way that this word Baba, Vaha Baba, Vaha Drama, Vaha Me can come out very naturally, spontaneously. Otherwise it's a disconnect. Disconnect of day to day, moment to moment, role to role, scene to scene. And of course, yes, we say, but this power of yoga that has to come through in our words will not be there, because it's not consistent. Which is what Baba was saying today, that for you to be able to glorify Baba, for the power to come through, there needs to be the power of yoga. And yoga is something that is a constant link in our life. That appreciation of everything, you know. Yoga is of course remembering Baba, but when we remember Baba, what's the result of that remembrance? That is also yoga. When we remember Baba, we are very positive. When we remember Baba, we see everything in a positive way. When we remember Baba, that we bring benefit to everything. And it's only when we are in yoga with Baba or in connection with Baba in such a way that we are like Him, that we can truly say, Vaha Baba. So as I was saying, there is this disconnect sometimes. We love Baba a lot. We are doing everything that Baba is saying on an external level. And yet, when it comes to truly glorifying Baba, that power in our words. Just the one word, Baba or Drama, we have to come to that point where just that one word can do all the work. Yeah. So the other disconnect I was thinking of is sometimes we say these words, you know, Vaha Baba, Vaha Drama, Vaha this, Vaha that, but internally we are not feeling it. So there is a disconnect between the outside and the inside. So we have to, not that it's not there, but we just have to give ourselves the chance to go deeper and draw more of that spiritual energy in those words. Sometimes we just don't give ourselves enough of a chance to do that. In other words, we're just living on the superficial layer of spirituality. So as much as we can take time here in Madhuban and really go into the deeper surfaces of really recognizing Baba, feeling and receiving from Baba, the more that voice will come very from the bottom of the heart. And the other thing, the disconnect that can also happen is sometimes you know that, you know, you feel a lot of appreciation and wonder and, you know, gratitude and everything for Baba. And also for the family and also for the drama, but sometimes you're not able to bring it into words. Especially if there is a relationship that hasn't worked or is not working. And you come to some kind of a realization deep inside that, you know, there is some good in it, that I'm learning something from this, that it's okay. No, it's perfect in drama. Then we have to come to that point where we have to break that barrier and also acknowledge it with each other. Right? That yes, it's okay. It's not working out, but we are both learning our lessons, and that's okay. Right? So it's also breaking that barrier between the inside and the outside. That yes, you know, I recognize this is the truth. I recognize that this is important for me to go through this experience. I recognize that, you know, we are both getting better because of this. But to openly to acknowledge that, I think is also important. Right, so whatever we are inside, that same words, vaha vaha, should also emerge outside. It may take a while, but eventually that inside and outside have to match, you know. And that's when glorification will happen. Right? People will know that these people are not just saying for the sake of saying it. But really it is coming from the bottom of their heart. What they have received is what they are sharing. This is how they live. This is, you know, this is how God has taught them to live. So, Baba, Vaha Vaha. Because I was particularly also struck when Baba said Vaha. He was referring to us being Vava. You are my Vava children. Right, so how often we sit and say, oh, I'm Baba's Vava child. To truly recognize. And for this, I think the practice that is needed is, you know, to constantly spin the cycle. Because you will notice strengths and you will notice weaknesses. You will notice pluses, you will notice minuses. But by spinning the cycle, we know that we are constantly increasing our virtues, our strengths, and we are leaving behind our defects, weaknesses, minus. So it's this practice of internally spinning the cycle that will allow us to do that all the time. And then of course truly this word, Vaha Mai, wow, I to look at myself and say, wow, you know, this is who I am. I had all these defects, weaknesses, or I had all these impurities, but now it's leaving. Now it's gone. How great am I that I was able to recognize Baba and Baba helped me to do this. Right? So for every vaha vaha, I think connected to one practice. And there can be many practices, but I'm just saying few practices. If I have to say vah vah to the family, for example, I have to participate with the family. I can't stay in one corner and say vah vah to the family. So I have to be amongst them, I have to be with them, I have to interact with them and appreciate them in that way too. So in that way, I think for deepening this voice of vah vah, think of all the things that you can do, you know, all the things that you can practice, whether internally or externally, so that truly this words vah vah can come from the heart, from deep in the lungs, right? Because the heart is also connected with the lungs. So when the heart is open, it comes, the voice of vah vah really comes deep from the lungs. Not just from the mouth, but deep from the lungs. This is why they have shown the conch shell. The conch shell, for the conch shell to blow, the air has to come deep from the lungs, not just from the mouth. So for us to blow the conch shell of Baba's glorification too, we have to say vaha vaha from deep, deep inside. And usually when Baba comes on Shivratri day, you know, this is what Baba wants us to do. That you should say just one word, Baba, and everybody should get the message. It should come with such deep feelings, with such deep bhavna of attainments, that everyone should have the same attainment as me. So, vaha, vaha, Baba. Vaha, vaha, me and my fortune. And vaha vaha, drama. Whatever the drama may be, it's perfect, beneficial, accurate. And I'm learning from it, I'm growing from it, and Baba is making me perfect. Right? Om Shanti. And if you have any quick comments or questions, we have some time. Openness. The question is, what do you mean by openness? Openness, very nice question. I was referring to openness mainly in the context of trying to understand something. Sometimes we are in situations and those situations, you know, the way we look at those situations is according to our own understanding. And our understanding at that time is probably limited, or just seeing one aspect of that whole situation. But it's not seeing the other accompanying aspects of that situation. So what I mean by openness is to be able to stay, you know, of course it all starts with soul consciousness. And the practice really is that I don't have any preformed idea or any preformed opinion about what's happening, but I'm just being with Baba and let Baba show me what is really happening here. You know, it's that kind of openness, where I'm telling Baba, Baba, I want to understand this better. Right? I'm not seeing the whole picture, but I want to see the whole picture. I want to remove that block that's not allowing me to see on the other side of this narrow picture. And so it's just sitting with Baba in that open state of mind and letting Baba then do the work of showing me the other aspects of what I can do, what I cannot do, what I did. In other words, sometimes we just hold, for example, someone else responsible for a situation and we don't see ourselves, you know, how we can improve the situation. You understand? And so that openness or inquiry is really about going to Baba and telling him, show me, what can I do? I don't seem to know what I can do, but you show me what I can do. And within that openness is whatever he shows me, I'm willing to accept. I'm not scared that then. Usually we block that openness because we don't want to accept some of our, you know, misgivings or faults or weaknesses. But to Baba, in front of Baba, when I'm open, I'm saying to him, you show me whatever there is that you want to show me and I will accept it. Yeah? You understand, right? So people do it these days by that process, as I was saying, appreciative inquiry. You know, there's a process of questioning, to creating certain questions and talking about that question and really going into the depth of your past experience and drawing from that past experience, but positive experience. Mm-hmm. But you can also do it for yourself with Baba, mm-hmm, by formulating certain questions. Baba, show me what I could have done better. Show me what I can do in this particular situation. It's like an inquiry, you know, with Baba that you're opening yourself to. What else? Nothing else? Everything good? Vaha vaha? You know, it's funny, I'll tell you what happened this morning when I said the topic for my class. I had said, saying vaha vaha from my heart, right? And Sister Meera captured it as saying Baba from my heart. Which makes beautiful sense, right? You know, because the two have to go hand in hand. Everything connects back to Baba. And so I was then remembering the blessing that Baba had given me years before, saying Baba from the heart. So it was like one of those nice things that happened in the drama mistakes that happen in the drama, because then I begin to see that, you know, it ties in so closely why Baba is now telling us to say Vaha Vaha, you know, because now it's the end result of that remembrance of Baba, where everything for us is Vaha Vaha. But there's no complaints and, you know, no downside to anything. Everything is the upside. Like they say, win-win situation. So even we are going through the worst of situations and you think that, you know, it's a conflict, it's not working out, it's this, but it's a win-win situation, because at the end of it, we're all winning, you know. We are gaining, we are learning, we are inculcating things that we didn't have before. We are realizing what we hadn't realized before. So it's Vaha vaha situation. Always. And it's Baba who is doing it for us, right? Okay. We'll close with Baba's remembrance. Yeah, a few minutes of nice Vaha vaha remembrance.
Stay still, we call the lightness in the air. And do you still see the smiling faces? It's wonder world called heaven.